So my name is Ryan Picone. I specialize in the music that was developed by a legendary guitarist by the name of Django Reinhardt. He was prevalent in the 1930s and, you know, left a legacy of music that, you know, still inspires me today and several other musicians all around the world. Django is just like somebody that just like not like anyone else. Like everybody plays this style, but Django does something that nobody else, you know, has been able to do, you know, since his time, and it's just unbelievable.
Can you talk a little bit about Django's background? Because he had an interesting story about having sustained an injury and burning his hand, and the fact that he was able to play like he did in the first place seems like a miracle, but then given with the physical limitations he contended with, it seems even more amazing.
You know, Django, you know, was already just, you know, a very prominent player in Paris, France, and unfortunately in 1928, you know, returning home late from a gig one night, accidentally knocked over a candle in his caravan and was pretty much burning alive. And he was able to, finally, some of the people in the community got him out, but his left hand was permanently disfigured. And it's kind of unfortunate because, you know, the doctor in that time said he would never walk again. They said he'd never play the guitar again. And during that time period of his recovery, he heard this music coming out of New Orleans. And it was Louis Armstrong. And the story goes is that he just thought it was the most incredible thing he ever heard. And he even sobbed. And what's kind of cool is that through Django's love of American jazz, it kind of aided in his recovery.
Can you talk about the sound that he became famous for? I know it was about 6 years later that he started recording under the auspices of the Quintet of the Hot Club of France with Charles Delaunay and Stephan Grappelli. And can you talk about what went into that sound? Like, I know that there's a lot of guitar in the rhythm for that music that also kind of distinguishes it.
Yeah, what's very actually incredibly interesting about that Hot Club sound is that, you know, there's definitely that jazz influence in imitating, like, the sound of the snare. But what's also very interesting is that in these valse styles, like the tune that his teacher, you know, taught him is a valse called Danse des Negros, which is like a hedgehog, and it's a delicacy in the community in the Manouche and Sinti. If you listen to these like recordings, the actual eighth notes are swung just like they're swung in jazz. So a lot of the sound and the way to improvise too in this kind of music that Django was doing is also deeply, deeply, deeply rooted in musette music, actually, and the very particular, you know, musette music of the Roma community.
So Django continued playing until his death in 1954. I know that he came into contact with some beboppers in the late 40s, so he kind of evolved, but it seems that his music has not only lived on in the sense that his compositions are still played, but also people have built upon that foundation. And so can you talk about what has grown out of the foundation that Django laid, and ultimately he died in 54, but here we are, what, 70 years later?
Django's like first, exposure to bebop was in a very like strange time period, actually, because of the isolation that happened in the Second World War. There was a huge disconnect, you know, from the people living in Paris, France, from what was happening, you know, in the States at that time period. But as you said earlier, Charles Delaney actually was able to get a record, you know, into Paris, France, and it was Salt and Peanuts. And that first like exposure just really blew Django away. Suddenly, that whole sound started changing some of the things that Django was doing. It's just very interesting when you look at early Django, late Django. It's just like his harmonic ideas were just going in places that no one was going to at that time period. And there is an actual like whole like catalog of bebop Django original tunes that, you know, nobody really knows about. But I think my quartet at a show, we pretty much played a show where we were like, hey, well, here's all these, you know, bebop tunes that Django did, which everybody was like, oh, he just does swing. And I'm like, yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely no. And something, another real unfortunate thing is that because Django passed away so early, there was actually talks that him and Charlie Parker were going to record an album together. And oh my God, it gives me chills like thinking about like what that sound would be like. Because especially when you even listen to some early Charlie Parker, like Cherokee, like the first early recordings of Cherokee, you listen to the guitar work on it, It's kind of that kind of hot club sound.
I know that you've mentioned Stefan Rembel, and I also read that you studied for a time with Howard Alden. Were there certain things that you learned from that experience of working closely with him?
I went to a Django festival, you know, it's not happening anymore, but it was in Laguna, California, and Stefan Rembel was playing there, and anyways, I was mesmerized that day at that show. The famous African guitarist Ali Forcatori passed away, and then Stefan actually like played a tune for him at the show, and I was like, God, this guy is unbelievable. Like the day of the show, he just, you know, learned a tune and played it. After the show, I was like, oh, you're so incredible. I was wondering, could I get a lesson, you know, with you? And anyways, he gives me his cell phone. He's like, yeah, brother, yeah, come to the hotel. And I go to his hotel, and he opens the door, and he goes, all right, bro, the first thing I will tell you about music is that music is not a bunch of theory crap, man. I'm adjusting the language a bit, but, and he said, music comes from your heart, and he pointed to your heart, and I was somebody that was just starting, like, you know, my education background in college, and now I have a doctorate, whatever, but imagine going back to college and telling all your professors, music isn't a bunch of theory crap, man, music comes from your heart. So it was, like, kind of a very, like, you know, interesting set of advice that I actually, you know, kept with me, and I've always been fortunate to be around, like, really great people and great musicians, and that's something that's been really wonderful. I was in Arizona, living in Arizona at a time period, and I had a performance after another musician. And anyways, I'm watching this musician, and I'm like, this guy is probably one of the best musicians I've ever heard. Anyways, I go up to him, and I'm like, hey, man, I really love your playing. Could I get some lessons from you? Because I just love your playing. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I play the Django kind of music. He's like, oh, yeah, I do that too a lot. I did the music for this movie, you might know of it, Sweet and Lowdown with Sean Penn. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, I'm Howard Alden. And I'm like, oh, and I just like kind of died. I kind of died, actually. And anyways, we became really good friends, and I studied with him for quite some time. And before I left Arizona, he actually sold me that DuPont from that movie, Sweet and Lowdown. So it's quite a gift from him. And then I guess Stefan Rambo has been my teacher for most of my career too. We pretty much work on everything from ground zero, and it's just really inspiring.
So you're playing at the Taste of Minnesota with the Ryan Picone Quartet. Can you tell me about that ensemble and the music that you're going to be playing there?
That ensemble is pretty much based on, all the original compositions that I've written probably 18, 19 years ago now. And we draw influence, of course, from like the Django repertoire. But also I've been really like inspired by a lot of, you know, Latin music styles. Especially like Cuban, like Montuno and some. Choro, flamenco, like the rumba flamenco. We even have some tango, you know, influences too, but the tango nuevo, like for like Astor Piazzolla and things like that. It's kind of like a fusion group, but its soul or genus is rooted in that Django legacy, absolutely.
Who are the musicians you're going to be performing with on that Sunday?
And my really good friend Tessa Nichols-Mead will be doing violin. My also good friend Ian Stenland, you know, will be playing rhythm guitar, and then also another dear friend Matt Blake on stand-up bass.
Now, on your website, there was an album there, and forgive me, I don't remember the name of it. Is that your most recent project? And can you tell me about that project and the music that's contained on that album?
You know, the Ryan Picone Quartet, that debut album, is pretty much, you know, compositions I've wrote over the past, like, 18 years. It's interesting that the title track, I Awake, was actually improvised in the studio, the first thing we did in the studio, actually. So we didn't have a title track for the album, so I decided, before we did anything, we just improvised three tunes in the studio, and we just improvised three tunes, and one of those tunes we actually was like, oh, well, that actually sounds composed. And I was like, oh, well, why not? Let's call it I Awake, the Romani meaning for Django's name, and have the album actually dedicated to Django. And I thought that was a good kind of a debut of our music to kind of show that these are original compositions, but it's also for like this musician and what he was able to do in his lifetime. We'll also be going back to Wild Sound Studio and recording our next album, which hopefully will be a 14-track album and will be titled Fortuna, like this idea of the Roman goddess of fortune. So it should be a real wonderful album.
Can you tell me about the Django Festival happening on July 25th?
Something I'm really excited for and really just putting a lot of work in is this Django Festival that's going to be happening at Hook and Ladder July 25th. We'll be bringing together like all the great musicians of the Twin Cities that have played this music for the past 20 years. the Twin Cities Hot Club, the Mill City Hot Club, Parasota Hot Club, Mississippi Hot Club, my two bands, Red Hot Django Peppers, Ryan Pacon Quartet, the Gentlemen's Anti-Temperance League. And my hope is that after this Django Festival, that each year this will continue to happen and grow the community and also better serve the community here in the Twin Cities, but also be able to eventually, you know, have national and international acts, you know, in the future.